Hi, I'm your host, Melody. Welcome to the Arizona Area Sponsorship Workshop. This workshop is hosted by the Arizona Area of Al-Anon, and our intention is to make sponsorship more accessible and less mysterious to all Al-Anon members. Any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona Area or Al-Anon as a whole. We'll open with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Suggested Al-Anon preamble to the 12 steps. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. I've asked Angela to read a portion of the bookmark, Sponsorship Working Together to Recover, M78.
Hi, I'm Angela. Sponsorship is a relationship built on equality, anonymity, and trust. An opportunity for growth for both the sponsee and the sponsor. A benefit at any stage of recovery. A commitment to practice healthy communication not based on intimidation or demands. An agreement to recover and grow together, not to struggle in isolation. An opportunity for self-discovery, not a teacher-pupil relationship. An experience based on unconditional love, not shame or judgment. A spiritual relationship with no strings attached. A one-to-one relationship, not an exclusive club. A bond focused on Al-Anon four primary ideas. We are powerless over the problem of alcoholism. We can turn our lives over to the power greater than ourselves. We need to change both our attitude and our actions. We keep Al-Anon's gifts by sharing them with others.
Thank you, Angela. We will be exploring Segment 5, Panel Shares and Discussion on Steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. We will be looking at techniques for working these steps and literature used. We will now hear from our speakers. They are Marie, Sunny, Carol, John, Maureen, and Judd.
Hi, I'm Marie. It's all new to me. So sharing on steps 4 through 7, I did some research, some looking into, I've worked the steps several times, several different ways. And I think my favorite way to work step 4 was the very first time that I worked step 4 with my sponsor was through the Al-Anon 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. And at the end of reading step 4, she had me write my story. And I loved that way to do it. Having done it several times, I think for me, steps 4 through 7 are when I get really honest. I was terrified to be transparent with other people. If you knew what was going on in my home, if you knew what my life looked like, you wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. And being able to go back into my earliest memories and just start writing, I think it was really important as well that I should mention with moving on to step 4. Before I did that, I had to have a really decent foundation. I really needed steps 1 through 3 first. I really had to face and understand that surrender. When I came into program, I had a religion, but I had no spirituality. And being able to find that allowed me maybe to trust somebody first in my life. I grew up in the disease of alcoholism, and I married alcoholism twice. So I was hurting when I came here, and step four was the beginning of allowing myself to let it up and out of me. So I did my fourth step, and then met with my, it took me a long time to do my first fourth step. It took me about 4 months, I think, to get it done. And when I finally got it done, I had about 150 pages, and my sponsor was so patient with me on step five and listened to every bit of it, and she loved me anyway, and she related to me. I think it was important as well, since this is a sponsorship workshop, to be talking about how do we find a sponsor. The way that I did was to pray about it and see how I was guided. And I was new in the program, and I didn't really know anybody. And this woman kept sharing and sharing, and everything she said I could so relate to. And I decided that I better ask her before someone else snapped her up, because I didn't know you could have more than one sponsor, or want more than one sponsee when you were sponsoring. So that was really cool, and she lovingly walked me through it. Another way that I've worked step four is through the blueprint, and that book took me about a year and a half to go through every single issue within it. And that was really revealing, but I had many years in program before I tackled that one. So step five, when I got to admit to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs, I think the hardest one for me was to admit to myself, because I had a lot of denial growing up in the disease of alcoholism. And if I just denied it and pretended it wasn't there, you know? So admitting to myself was the beginning of the self-esteem that I have from working steps four through seven. So I got through step five, and step six, six and seven for me, I thought, oh, this is going to be easy, because there's not really any work to do in those. You know, all I have to do is be ready and then ask him to remove. And it wasn't quite like that. Step six was completely liberating for me, because all the pain and all the things that were discovered for me in step four was I was able to release it, and it gave me an opportunity to do something with those things, as well as service. You know, service has saved me several times in this program, being able to give back to others. It's also helped me to establish that relationship with the higher power that I have today, because it never feels better than when you're helping somebody else out. And I find, as a sponsor, when I'm walking with someone through a step, or listening to them, or, you know, hearing them share their steps, I really get more out of it than, well, I don't know if I get more than they get, but I sure do get a lot out of being able to be there for someone else, because, you know, this program, it's been there for me for a very long time. So being entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character is about putting my ego aside and not thinking that there's anything that I can do. How I looked at it, I think, early on was that he gets, my higher power gets to remove those things as he sees fit. They still come back to me, those character defects. Sometimes I will act out of them. But overall, I think the peace of mind that I get allowing God to remove those defects of character, you know, and when we continue working this program, living in the situation that we're living in today, you know, I don't think I'd be able to stay home with my whole family like this and not, I mean, we're kind of quarantining, you know. And we have to find the lightheartedness and the sense of humor about it. And my higher power today allows me to do that. I can ask him to humbly remove those things, but you know, I have to recognize them before he's going to remove them, I feel. Step seven, absolutely amazing. Humbly asking him to remove those shortcomings within me. The word that comes to me today when I think about this step is peace, you know. It's not humiliation. It's about being humble. And the definition that I've understood about humility is the goodness unaware of itself. It's when I'm out there helping my neighbor across the street who had heart surgery and not expecting anything in return. You know, I think about the one of my first great tools as well, when I was newer in Al-Anon, were the Just for Today's. The one about helping others without being found out, that was so hard for me because I had such a low self-esteem that if I did something for someone, I had to let everybody know so that I could get that kudos. And today that comes from my higher power, not from other people around me. I mean, it's nice for somebody to tell you, oh, you look really nice today or something, but it's not necessary, I think, for my recovery today. So I don't know if I've talked long enough or not, but I want to listen and hear what others have to say on these four steps. And thank you so much for letting me share a little bit tonight.
Thank you, Marie. That was great. Thanks for sharing with us tonight. Our next speaker is Sunny. Sunny, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Thank you, Melody. It's great to see all your faces from as far as Yuma and Sierra Vista. It's just awesome. I love that this opportunity with Zoom allows us to see our friends all around the state. I want to thank Claudia for inviting me to share my experience, strength, and hope around sponsorship. For me, and thank you, Marie, for your share. That was awesome. I have used a variety of different CAL, a Blueprint for Progress, Path to Recovery, and Reaching for Personal Freedom. I also started in the program with the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. And I don't know, I guess it might be an anomaly, but I've actually had one sponsor the whole time I've been in program. She has such a depth and breadth of experience. I'm still learning from her. And it's not anything to do with not letting go, because there are a few times we kind of almost went our separate ways, but I'm always learning, and she's always got new assignments for me. So far, so good. That may change in the future, but right now it's pretty solid. For me, for my experience with the sponsorship and sponsee, it's the first relationship that I really learned how to be intimate. And, you know, intimacy is intimacy. I learned from my sponsor's example, really, of being honest and being open. And so I've been through doing a variety of things, and I too think the Blueprint for Progress took me the longest. It was the hardest. But through that, you know, both in my own experience with my sponsor as an example, and then what I've carried through with my sponsees, I think some of the things that helped along the way is to go at the pace of the sponsee. You know, there have been times where even my sponsor would want me to get something done, darn it. And I could feel the pressure, and I just wasn't ready. And I just dig my heels in and say, I'll do what I darn well feel like it. But, of course, she gently prodded me, had a lot of patience, and showed me, you know, if you can do this, you'll really see, you know, how it will help your growth. But, of course, a lot of that had to do with fear and being stubborn, because stubborn is one of my character defects, although the volume on that has turned down a bit through program, thank goodness. And also that other Cal is brought in when needed. You know, she would recommend assignments to me around a step that we'd be doing or an aspect where I would, what I would call a speed bump would happen, or maybe it triggered me and sent me down a path where I needed to write a letter. She would often have me write letters to my mother, my brother, whoever it was along the way that I needed to. And sometimes it just needed to have a rest stop. You know, this program is so intense that when we peel those layers of the onion, sometimes you get to a really stinky part of that onion and you're just not ready to fully take it in. So going along and understanding that, I found was important for me and for others. And also, you know, assignments like journaling. Maybe just, someone just needs to write more about a particular aspect. And by the way, writing a letter didn't mean sending it, sometimes if it was appropriate, but sometimes just burning it or ripping it up and getting rid of it, getting it out of the system. Because my sponsee and my sponsor and myself are both interested in vocabulary, she was always having me highlight words, look up the definition. And even when I went through the fourth step again with her, she'd ask me to look it up again. I'd like, really? And she's like, yes, because you're a different person now when you're going through it and you look at that definition or maybe one of the definitions of that word, such as detachment, a little bit differently. She also would ask me to use my God box when I would have challenges or something that I wanted to give to God, and that, of course, always helped. I was always relieved when we got to the step five, really looking at, you know, when I would really be afraid to tell her one of my deep, dark secrets and then to have her say to me, you know, I did that too. It was such a huge relief that I finally had a person that I could be totally transparent with and they would still love me unconditionally. That was, to me, a miracle of the program and the example that we have as a relationship I can bring into others as well. But back to that making a fearless, searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. One of the other things, whether it's Blueprint or any of the books, highlighting things that really jump out and so later you can look back, like the list of character defects and assets, being able to look at them later and review them and say, well, how far have I gotten with this, is really helpful too. With step five, again, going back to that admitting to God, we always would make sure that, you know, we didn't do the whole thing at once. It was done in stages and times, you know, chunks at a time, like when you try to maybe eat a good meal or something, you're not doing it all at once. And that was really a blessing. And she also, I've done it in such a way that she and also with my sponsees don't necessarily have to finish the whole book and then share. Sometimes if it was appropriate along the way, it would, of course, concentrate on step four, step at a time, but there might be something we'd want to talk about, and that was okay to do that, because actually it's an organic healing process, to me anyway. And then, you know, the exact nature of our wrongs, that can be tricky. You know, that would jump out at me, and I'd say, but you mean I have to tell the whole thing? Can't I just say, like, three-quarters of it? But no, really being fully looking at what I did wrong, what was my part in the situation that went south with somebody and why, you know, and then being able to look at those character defects and understand, okay, if I have the character defect of procrastination or stubbornness, well, what is that impact on others? That was something I never looked at before the fourth step. And of course, as Marie had said, it's really important to have that strong foundation of, you know, one, two, and three before starting that fourth. And then looking at entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. You know, we'd always pray before we'd start our session. and, you know, looking at entirely ready, and then that word, all these defects of character. I wanted to pick and choose and say, well, can you please take care of this first? Because that's the one that's most important to me. But what I would find is God would say, no, here's an example. I'm going to bring you on this journey so that you can deal with this character defect over here. And that really, really helped a lot. And also, God's time is the best time, she'd always tell me, because I'd get impatient with that. I don't know if anyone can relate, but, you know, I'd want that character defect removed once I was in the shock and horror of what it did to my life and to others as well. And then humbly asking him to remove the shortcomings, you know, being humble, asking him to remove them. That's all you have to do. That was such a relief to me because I'm such a doer and I wanted to, like, do something to make those go away or, you know, to bargain with God and say, you know, could you do this for me if I do this? Of course, the program teaches us not to do that. And then with my sponsees, each one has been very different. And we start the journey by looking at the sponsorship brochure, reading it together, talking about what their expectation is, what my expectation is. And then it's really their responsibility. If we have an appointment, it's their responsibility to let me know if they can't make it. I'm not going to chase someone, but of course I'll check on them if I don't hear from them. But, you know, and feeling like, I don't know, you know, it's not a teacher and pupil, no way, but I feel like I'm a facilitator. And I would find myself, I have these sort of cautionary things, like if I'm getting agitated when I'm with a sponsee or I'm getting feeling like I'm repeating myself, then I have to step back, take a break, take a breath. And apologize because I know I'm probably trying to control and get that person to do something. And I've unfortunately switched onto the fix it mode because I can see the pain that they're in and can have empathy and don't want them to be in pain. So that's my stuff. So then I can claim my stuff. And that's important, I think, to do too, very much so. And the growth, I mean, the incredible growth I've had myself by going through the journey with sponsees and, you know, If there's something they're going through and I meditate and pray and ask God and pray with them and for them, it helps me to then go back to the literature and read and, oh, I found something that might be helpful for you if it's in survival to recovery, or maybe it's in transforming our losses, or maybe it's in intimacy with an alcoholic, you know, being able to guide or share with someone some other literature has been really helpful to augment the fourth step, fourth, five, six, and seven steps. Let's see, how am I doing on time? I want to make sure I don't go over. Good time? Okay, good. I'm done then. There you go. Oh wait, I have more. Okay. Let's see, I'm looking at my notes. What else? I find sometimes when I've gone through the Path to Recovery book, I get to a point and a sponsee answers a question very briefly. Like, there you go, I answered it. And I'm like, I never put a sponsee down, but I'll probe more. I'll ask another question and I'll ask another question. And if they're still kind of stymied, which I get, that's happened to me too, I'll have them highlight that, circle it and say, why don't you meditate and pray on this? Maybe there's a little more that you could share, and maybe there isn't, but we'll come back to this next time we're together. And most of the time, I found that the sponsee will then share more. Oh, I didn't realize, or I didn't think about this, or maybe it's that. Just in a way of being thorough, not in a way of being nosy, obviously. I think it's also important during these steps, because they're so intense and so deep, and sometimes they take a while, to let the sponsor know every time, which my sponsor did, that, you know, this is a sacred space we're creating. This is your bubble, our bubble, to go on this journey together, that nobody else knows anything. I'm not going to talk to anybody, not my husband, nobody, about this. Not going to repeat your story at all. And that helps to create that safety, and a box of tissues, of course, because most of the time there's some crying in there that would go along with it. I think too that, you know, taking the time to look at the daily readers. For example, where are the asking a sponsee when we're on a particular step, whether it's 4, 5, 6, and 7, to look at their favorite daily readers and to read those pages, and then we share and discuss that as well. That's been very helpful, particularly if it seems onerous in any way. It's like, oh no, I got to open the Blueprint for Progress, and I got to go through these questions, and they're really hard. And I find that's a help as well to it. That is good. I think that's all. I'm good for now.
Thank you, Sunny. That was wonderful.
You're
Thanks
welcome
for sharing with us tonight.
You're welcome.
So our next speaker is going to be Carol. So Carol, go ahead and unmute yourself and you're up.
Hi, everybody. It's good to see all of your smiling faces. And this is the first time I've been on this sponsorship Zoom. And it's just so great to see so many people. I want to say thank you to Claudia for inviting me to do this. Just a little bit about me, what brought me into Al-Anon. My grandfather, father, husbands, boyfriends, sons all have varying degrees of alcoholic problems. And as I grew up, I became more insane, controlling, and judgmental. I was a blackout manipulator and a binge martyr, forcing my situations and my will. I crawled into the rooms of Al-Anon 16 years ago and just sat and cried tears of relief and joy. I was in a safe place with people from my planet. So when I first came into the rooms, I was afraid to find a sponsor for fear they would say no or I wasn't worth it. It was hard for me to trust anyone with all my dysfunctions. Eventually, I found a woman who helped me work the steps, and after that, I had two other sponsors. And the last sponsor I've had for probably 3 or 4 years, and we are currently working on intimacy in the alcoholic relationship. I have found a huge part of recovering my service and have served on many levels, and I'm currently the delegate for Montana Panel 59. So just a few days ago, Claudia asked me to speak on what techniques I used with my sponsees using 4, 5, and 6, and 7. As I reflected on what these techniques were, I struggled because I just sponsor the way I've always done without any thought to a technique. Claudia, you are upping my recovery. Thank you. It's like explaining my technique for singing in the shower. You just do it, right? You just sing. So I got reflective, and it really helped because I probably should have done this before I got any sponsees, but currently I have 4 sponsees, and the techniques I use vary slightly depending on those that are living with active alcoholism or those that want to work the steps for deeper continued recovery and in between both of those. These techniques are always coded with many spiritual principles like compassion and respect, but never compromising on digging for truth and acceptance. This helps me find trust and direction for helping someone who has reached out to me for help. This creates a transparent, safe place to do our work for sponsee and sponsor. I suggest that we go to meetings together and meet face-to-face once a week. If it isn't possible, we work from phone calls, email, or video conferencing. So my step 4 techniques. This is a very scary place to go, and it's the start of an emotional, spiritual, and physical journey that has been hidden in darkness and inside secrets for a long time. What I do is we delve into how working the step 4 will deepen their recovery and life experience. When we first get together, I ask them to choose a few readings from any one of the Cal Daily Readers on step 4. Then to reflect on something that speaks to them. Then jot down these thoughts. They share with me what they want in terms of recovery from working step four. So I do this just to kind of as an icebreaker, because it is such a dark place to go and it's scary. It was scary for them to even ask me. And so that will take probably a couple of meetings together just to kind of get trust built. From here, I move slowly, starting with the paths to recovery. We take turns reading and sharing on step four. I then have them pick five or so of the questions in the back of the chapter, and they email to me so we can discuss the following week. Most get the new Paths to Recovery workbook. Others just keep a journal of reflections. From here, we start the Blueprint for Progress four-step inventory. So what happens is I just kind of imagine it as being like a lasagna form of sponsorship, because I'm always referring to steps one, two, and three. Then we sneak in four. Then we go back to five. Then we go to one. Because what ends up happening, especially with someone that's living with active alcoholism, is all they want to talk about is the alcoholic. And so it's really hard to redirect them into talking about themselves. So once we get past, I don't know really when, but I say, okay, you got 5 minutes to talk about the alcoholic. Make it good. Go for it. I let them do it. And then 5 minutes is up and they're like, already? And then we start talking about always bringing it back to self. And it's hard. It's hard. It makes me see the struggle I had when I went through, step four. We bring it back to today and self-truths, focusing on acceptance. Nothing harsh, demanding, or judgmental. I learn as much about recovery as they do in theirs. I give them topics for reflection instead of giving advice. I'll tell you, it is so hard to not give advice, especially me, the fixer. But what I end up doing is I pause within, and I'll instead of giving advice, I'll just bring up another topic. And it's a wonderful way to redirect into recovery and stick to the paths in Al-Anon. We look through the table of contents before starting to give them perspective on the work to be done. So in the Paths to Recovery, there's the couple pages of listing of all the things we're going to go through, and I can just see them starting to glaze over. So we just go back to step one, then we pick up the first topic. And whenever we come to difficult spots, I sometimes read, we take a break and read for Reaching for Personal Freedom, which it's a great book to just kind of float through instead of, I don't know, it's just like we're getting our PhD when it comes to paths to, comes to the Blueprint for Progress. So I just kind of go like what both Marie or what Sunny had said. We create a rhythm together, and it's really important for me to respect the fact that change is hard and making this a lifestyle is so hard. It takes a lifetime. So that's kind of how I work the four steps. So we go through that, and that can take as long as it takes. Sometimes a year, sometimes longer. Of course, sometimes most of the topics aren't as intense as others, depending on the person. But I would say my main literature is Paths to Recovery and Blueprint for Progress. And then we sneak in, Reaching for Personal Freedom. And then we go back to the books sometimes. Like I'll say that, you know, I try to go to meetings with them, and then we meet before or after, and we'll refer to those readers. So that's great. Step five, admitting to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. This to me is about humility and ownership of our humanness. In step one, I have them write their story on one page. And at this point, I allow them time to retell their story again. Because through insight and acceptance and moments of serenity, their lives shift. They've paused enough to find perspective. They can take a step back and see perspective. There's more transparency. After working step four, we make a proclamation to three entities, higher power, ourselves, and another. It is a giant step in ownership of our humanness and recovery. To stand and proclaim sets a great foundation for continued work in this program. And it's an internal process. It's like when we get to step five, it takes courage to stand up to another human being, to ourselves, to our higher power. And it's a very vulnerable spot. So like I think Sunny had said, like five, six, and seven, yeah, there's not much work to it. But there's that internal fortitude and that internal curiosity about our path in this program that is really empowering. I can just see it happen. It you know, with my sponsees and with myself when I did it. Then step six and seven, we're entirely ready to have God remove our character defects and humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. My sponsee's sponsor told me one time, when you're in ready or you humbly asked, it's not like there's this magic wand and poof, they're all gone. You can take a character defect and just set it like you'd set a cup of coffee on the table. Because there's comfort in that. You can move away from that and find a path, but just for me to be able to look over there and see that I just put control on the table is very empowering. And obviously, it sneaks in and we make mistakes. I had AA person ask me, do you guys have birthday chips for anniversaries about how long you've been in Al-Anon? I said, well, basically, I'd probably have 50 a day because I have to restart every time. So that's what I love about this program is it's gentle. We have people for support. We not only have a sponsor that helps us with steps, but we can reach out to anyone. Anywhere. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Carol. That was great. I got a lot of good tips out of that one.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is John, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon and Alateen Family Groups. And I'm zooming in here with you guys from San Francisco. And I want to say thank you to Claudia for inviting me to share experience, strength, and hope on sponsorship, and it's nice to be here, and it's nice to be at a meeting, and it's nice to see so many people in Al-Anon working recovery today. I thought it might be helpful to do just some of like the who, what, when, where, why, and hows of sponsorship, because that's so much of what I've had to uncover to help. So sponsorship has become a benefit in my life. I am somebody who has been very, very lucky with sponsorship. I asked for sponsorship after I had been in Al-Anon, I think less than 2 months, and I worked with that same sponsor for 9 years until he moved to Europe. And I had also been at that time working with a service sponsor. And so it made sense to me at that point to ask her to become my personal sponsor, and I asked her if we could work the steps together, and she said that it would be an honor, which I think is probably one of the nicest responses that I could ask for. And so I'm going through the steps again with her, and I'm getting so much more out of it this time. And so what is this sponsorship that we hear talked about in meetings and in our literature? For me, Al-Anon is a spiritual program which makes sponsorship a special kind of relationship because it is spiritual in nature. So who is a sponsor? I hear people say in meetings, how do I know who to ask? Well, the idea is that the eighth tradition says that our 12-step work, which involves sponsoring, should remain forever non-professional, that it can be practiced by any one of us. But a sponsor is someone who has a sponsor and is working the three legacies of Al-Anon in their own personal recovery. Therefore, they have the experience of working the steps themselves to share. Al-Anon is not a teaching program. It is a sharing program. I've learned over the years that I cannot want recovery for my sponsees more than they do. And this is so important. I've learned that I'm not responsible for their recovery. I prefer the analogy that a good sponsor shines the light while the sponsee does the digging. I also like the analogy that a good sponsor lays out the buffet, but it is up to the sponsee to get up and serve themselves. I like it because much of what we do in Al-Anon is we help each other see our available choices. And my sponsors have both very effectively laid out the buffet of choices. And I have just been willing to get up and to make use of each of those choices that has been laid out to me. These choices are also laid out in our literature. And I'll talk about literature and what I use when working steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. Why do I need a sponsor? Al-Anon is a 12-step program, and we are encouraged to work the steps with someone who has their own personal experience working the Al-Anon program themselves. Many times I'll hear a member say they are studying the steps on their own. But this is not a figure-it-out program. It's a program of action. I learned early that I have been affected by the family disease of alcoholism to the point that my thinking has become distorted. In other words, my thinking is sick. Today I understand I cannot heal a sick mind with my own sick mind. I need the objective perspective of my sponsor. And so how do I get a sponsor? There's an old spiritual saying which says when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Of course, sponsorship is not a teaching relationship, but I think the spiritual axiom applies here because I must be willing to ask those five hard words, will you be my sponsor? I do believe that it is in the asking for help, which is what helps heal alcoholism. I didn't ask for help before I came to Al-Anon, and the primary reason I didn't ask is because I already believed I had the answers, and so that belief system is really effectively blocked God out. And by asking for help, I do something that makes room for God to come into my life. I do something that's called humility when I ask for help. When do I meet my sponsor? Everyone sponsors differently. There's no one way or right way. It's up to the members of the relationship to negotiate what works best for them. This is where I began to learn to trust my sponsor and to keep my focus on myself instead of worrying about his schedule for him. So in the beginning, I worked with my sponsor for the first 6 months, and we met every other week, and my progress was slow. And I started to get resentful that we were moving so slowly. And I had failed to realize that my sponsor had asked me, how would you like to meet? And I had said, oh, well, maybe every other week. And I said that because I was too afraid to ask for what I needed, and I was too afraid to take up his time. I had no recovery. I was brand new, and I didn't know anything about keeping the focus on myself. And so I was managing his schedule for him and developed a resentment that we were moving too slowly. And so I finally was able to get up the courage to ask him to talk to him about it. And he says, well, what would you like to do? And I said, well, I'd like to meet every week. And he said, okay. And I thought, wow, it's as easy as that. What do I do when I meet my sponsor? When I'm sponsoring, I always like to begin with a sponsorship bookmark. It was read here today. I think because it's a bookmark that we can overlook it. I think that the wisdom of sponsorship on this bookmark is almost pretty much everything I need to know to get started. So I do read it with sponsees. We read it together. And then I like to talk about what sponsorship is and what it isn't. I certainly had a lot of incorrect ideas. And then it also introduces the topic that sometimes relationships end, and that letting go of a sponsorship relationship is not a sign of failure. And I needed that permission. Although the relationship ended through its natural course after 9 years, I needed to know in the beginning that if it didn't last, that I would hadn't failed. And then I like to spend the first several visits going through the first 100 pages of How Al-Anon Works Together. We read it chapter by chapter. This is where I see the program of Al-Anon come alive for sponsees. And we begin to get to know each other. So I think it lays the foundation for beginning step one. And so let's look at step four, five, six, and seven. Thank God by the time I reach step four, I have worked steps one, two, and three, because those steps are about keeping the focus on myself, admitting where I have the ability to influence change, which, as the bookmark was read today, it says that I can change my attitudes and my actions. In fact, I must change those things if I want to recover. In step two, I come to have a relationship. I get introduced to the concept of a power greater than myself. And then in step three, I learn to begin turning my will and my life over so that to the care of that higher power, so that when I begin that inventory, I am not hopefully using it as a tool to beat myself up. When I worked the fourth step with my sponsor, I did use the Blueprint for Progress, Al-Anon's four-step inventory, and there's 26 chapters in that workbook, and on topics like honesty, communication, relationships, finance, spirituality, and many other chapters where I begin to really get to know myself. It was said to me early that an inventory is a written list of items, that there's no such thing as a mental inventory. When I hold all those thoughts, ideas, and beliefs in my head, my head starts to get swimmy. And when I write them out and I get them on paper, it gets those things out of my head and gets them on paper where I can see them more objectively. And most importantly, I can share them with my sponsor. And So I went through that process. It was slow. I wanted it to go faster. And I expressed that to my sponsor, and he said to me, John, I don't set the pace. And I thought, damn it, he's right. He's not controlling the pace here. It just had to move as quickly as it did. He also said something else that I didn't really understand or like in the beginning, but I've come to understand, believe that it's true today. He said, it does not matter what step you're on. The only thing that matters is that you're on the path and working the steps. And today, after having completed the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts, and I've gone back to the beginning and I'm working them again, I do understand why it's not important what step I'm on. The only thing that matters is that I'm working the step today. And I'm actually back on the fourth step again right now. In step five, I do work with my sponsor from Paths to Recovery, Al-Anon Steps, Traditions, and Concepts. We read the stories and introduction, and then I do writing on the questions. So I sponsor how I have been sponsored. That's often what I hear members say, and because that is the experience that I have to share. In the fifth step, it said make a list of the people that you trust, who you'd be willing to share your fifth step with. And of course, my service sponsor at that time was the person who I really wanted to do my fifth step with. I had already gone through the fourth step with my sponsor, so he already knew everything in there. I wanted that objective perspective of somebody I hadn't been sitting for the past year and a half with going through that blueprint. And it was the most valuable thing that I did. I had to get on a plane. I flew to Colorado. We spent 3 days together going through the fifth step, and I had a transformative spiritual experience, which led to me reconnecting from an estranged relationship with my mother and with my family. And so step six, I think for me, step six can be summed up as exhausting all other possibilities. I learn from pain, and pain is the great motivator. And when I become so uncomfortable that I am willing to do the unknown, more than I'm willing to stay in the discomfort of right now of what I already know, then I become willing, one more time, just like when I asked for sponsorship or when I walked into my first meeting, I become willing to let God come into my life. So for me, step six is about God, but it's working the questions through Paths to Recovery. I like comparing how Al-Anon works with Paths to Recovery. And I also encourage my sponsees to read all three of Al-Anon's daily readers. There's so much good stuff in those. And I rely on them myself. And then the same thing with step seven. We read together. They write on the questions, and then we go over that together. So that's my time. Thank you for the opportunity to share, and I will mute.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, John. That was wonderful. I really appreciated your share today. So our next speaker will be Maureen. Maureen, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maureen, grateful member of the Al-Anon Alateen Family Groups, and I, too, am thankful that I was asked to be of service today, and every time that I am of service, it helps me to grow just a little bit more, so I appreciate the opportunity. I've learned a lot from listening to a few of the sponsorship series. I haven't caught all of them. So it's been very helpful to me, and so So I hope that today I can at least touch somebody's, you know, life. That's true pretty much every time I work with a sponsee, you know, ask my higher power to guide my thoughts and let those guide my words. And when I work with a sponsee, a lot of times, you know, each relationship is different. Each person is different. And there are so many different ways to work the steps. But as John said, you know, I do what my sponsor did. And so I use the path to recovery. When it comes to step four, I've used the blueprints for progress. I myself was thankful that the blueprints for progress was there, answering questions, being asked questions, I should say, that helped me to think and, go back to some experiences in my life is what I needed. If I was to sit down and write my life story, I could not do that. It would just be too overwhelming for me. So I love the way that the Blueprints for Progress is broken up into sections. Of course, by the time you get to the fourth step, we should have already gone through the first three and, believe in a higher power and know what that higher power is and trust that higher power. I can also be well, that's not what I want to talk about. Okay, so working the fourth step, I would get together with them. I usually work the fourth and fifth together with the Blueprints for Progress. If the sponsee has a different idea of what they might want to do to work the fourth step, like if they want to do their life story or something like that, you know, that's perfectly fine. It is an individual. It's their program. We kind of work together as to what's going to work for both of us. And as far as, you know, a meeting place, where we do this, they set the pace, they set the place. A lot of times it's in their home because it is a pretty confidential discussion. And, you know, you're not going to want anybody to overhear and that sort of thing. So I have to remember that as well. You know, if they don't choose, I've never had anybody choose to do it differently. I take that back. I had one gal choose to do the four step differently. And she used a different program altogether. And in hindsight, this was when I was very early in the program and one of my first sponsees. In hindsight, I should have encouraged her to use the Blueprints for Progress, to use Al-Anon literature, and I did not. So that was my bad. And like I said, learn from my experience and growing all the time, right? After she did it, she was like in this panic and fear and that sort of thing, which, you know, as we went through it in the Al-Anon way, she found out, yeah, I'm not supposed to beat myself up. I'm supposed to find the balance of my character defects. You know, some are good, some are bad. It just depends on the way I'm using them. So I did jot down a few notes, but not too many. Just wanted to make sure I hit on a few things. So we work four and five together, so it's not overwhelming. And another thing I have found out with working the sponsees, and this was just totally spontaneous one time. We were on a four-step with, I was on a four-step with somebody, and they were having an issue on something that they were not working on in the Blueprints for Progress. You know, one of these other chapters, fear, anger, or frustration, or finances, or something like that. So I told them, you know, we don't really have to work these in order. You know, I said, if you're really having an issue with that, why don't you go ahead and work on that section, and maybe that'll give you some perspective, and we can talk about it, and, you know, might help you find a solution. Another thing I use as well is the 12 steps in 15 minutes. Sometimes that can be a really helpful tool to focus on a specific issue that I may be having or they may be having. So that's also been a good tool for me, a go-to for me and my sponsees. It seems like when I do it, the fourth and fifth step together with someone, it opens up a lot more conversation. And it can take a little more time because then we get to talking, you know, that one question might be, have 30 minutes of conversation and one question might only have five, you know, so it can vary as far as time. But again, there's no timetable on this. There's no time limit. They set that pace. I'm retired, so I have the time to work with people when they need it, pretty much. I do have some boundaries. So if they need to meet more than once a week, then, you know, we can do that. If they need to meet longer than an hour, we can do that. It just, you know, we just work it out together. And I think that's part of the relationship. It's having a sponsor taught me how to have an intimate relationship and, you know, how to be trustworthy and how to communicate better and ask for help and those sort of things. And so I think it's just really important for me to also encourage my sponsees to contact me, to pick up the phone and call me when they're ready to call me. We usually set up a once a week thing, time, you know, and if they don't call, then they don't call. Maybe I'll check on them the next day, but I know I forget to call my sponsor once in a while too. In fact, when I'm on my second sponsor, and when I first started meeting with her, she said, call me every week, right? And I would always forget. It wasn't a schedule. I didn't have a cell phone to remind me. But I had somebody that was calling me once a week. So finally, after apologizing umpteen million times to my sponsor for not calling, she suggested I call her after I talked to this other person. I'm like, great idea, right? Why I didn't think of that, I don't know. So that started me on that habit, that commitment to call her and talk once a week. We don't have to talk about a lot of, you know, we've been in the relationship for so many years now, we don't necessarily talk a lot about specifically about a problem or their step or anything like that. We've become friends, and I think that's important. For me, I didn't know how to have a friend, so it was very important for me to have that sponsorship relationship and learn how to be a friend and to reach out for help, pick up that heavy phone and make those phone calls. And yes, it's difficult. Yeah. I mean, that's why it was hard for me to do it. Until I got myself in the habit and got comfortable with it, it wasn't going to happen. So that's why I encourage them to reach out. I also encourage them to have, other Al-Anon members that they can contact and talk to and reason things out with, but sometimes I'm not available. Or sometimes, you know, it may be a topic that I have no idea, I've never had that experience to share, you know, my experience, strength, and hope with them. So, you know, I encourage them to have those other conversations with other members. It's not an exclusive relationship. Yes, it is to a certain degree. However, you know, you can get experience, strength, and hope from other people, and it's important to know that and to let them know that that's okay. Just like it's important to let them know that if at any point in time, you know, they're not comfortable with the relationship that we're having together, what we're working on together, we need to talk about it. And again, that's up to them to bring it up. I can't do it for them. I've had some difficulties myself with reaching out to a sponsee that, you know, may not be calling me on a regular basis. And then I'm like, finally, I'm going, okay, are we doing this or are we not doing this? You know, kind of, do we need to continue with this relationship? What do you want to do? And I was afraid to do that. I had to talk to my sponsor about that. But also, you know, it was great. It worked out fine. You know, she's like, oh, yeah, I do really want to do this. I need to buckle up and do it, you know, start getting back on the program. All right, and then the reason I use Path Recovery for 4, 5, 6, and 7, so there's not a whole lot of variance there. They answer the questions. We discuss each question together. If they have a particular question that maybe they have a problem with, I know there was a few that I'm like, what exactly do they mean, you know? Then I would just put an asterisk by it, and I would ask my sponsor, and then we'd have a discussion about it. So I encourage them to do that as well with any of the questions that they work on in the path to recovery. If at any time they feel like they aren't ready to move on to the next step, because I feel like that is their decision, if I feel like, you know, maybe they need a little work, on something here or something there, then yes, I will try and encourage that, but I can't make them do that. Just, you know, like I can't force the alcoholics to quit drinking, right? It's their program and they've got to work it. They've got to want it. Oh, another thing I ask them to do too, if they have a problem with one of the questions, if they get stuck, I just say, go to the cow, go to the daily readers, look in the back, look up the readings. And sometimes that kind of helps jog their their ideas or their thoughts. And that can be a great piece of literature. All those daily readers would be good literature as well to open up conversations for some of those questions. And also, you know, to talk to me if they get stuck on something, we can talk, reason things out. I mean, that's what it's all about. So I did hear when John shared, he said that he shared his fifth step with, I believe he said this, was not the sponsor he was working the step with at the time. And, you know, I think I need to put that in to my working with my sponsees too. You know, if they feel like they don't want to do the fifth step with me, of course nobody's ever really brought it up, but if they did, I would definitely encourage them to, you know, do it with somebody they trust. I wouldn't force them to do it with me. And on the other hand, even if we get done and they still feel like they need a little more work, then maybe, yeah, they could go do it with somebody else too, another trusted person. And maybe that would, you know, give them somebody else to throw ideas off of and get different perspective. So yeah, like I said, I've learned a lot from these sponsorship series, and it's really helped me grow a lot, I believe, as a sponsor, and use a lot more different techniques, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, and look at things differently. In fact, somebody asked me yesterday about having a personal relationship with your sponsor, and I'm like, wow, I have such an intimate relationship with my sponsees. I feel like they're my friends. I mean, it's not like we hang out with each other all the time and go to parties together or anything like that, but they're my friends. You know, I feel like they are. So I think that's up to each personal experience too. You know, how far do you want that relationship to go? Do you want to, you know, go to events together and stuff like that? Most of the time I share Al-Anon events with my sponsees, which is fine. You know, I love that. Usually, you know, we don't do a lot of other things outside of that, outside of the Al-Anon events, but that's not to say you can't. But the great thing about a sponsor and sponsee relationship is we don't have to have the same views on everything. And I've learned that as well from this relationship, that's true with every relationship. We don't have to have the same viewpoints on everything. But we can still be friends and be respectful of each other. Let's see. So step six is you become ready and willing, and you're not going to actually do anything. So I encourage them, you know, that this is not something where you have to make any big changes. You just have to be willing. So don't be afraid to work it. Don't be afraid to answer the questions. It's part of the process so that you can move on to get prepare you for the rest of the steps. And step six is really something other than answering the questions and working those through with me. It's really something that's personal for them with their higher power in them. So that's something they need to know that they are ready to work. Move on to step seven. Sorry. Let's take a commitment to myself. Oh yes. I know I'm not alone, and I encourage them that they are not alone, to always reach out if they need to talk. And again, that's why I have them have another contact, you know, in the Al-Anon program, so that they can have different people to reach out to and back up, you know, and be comfortable with those people already before you have a crisis. You know, you don't want to be calling somebody out of the blue in a crisis, like, you know. So I encourage them to contact them when they're, you know, not in crisis. I felt I learned more about myself when I read and answered all the questions with my sponsor because of that open conversation and dialogue back and forth. So that was always, you know, that was pretty cool. And I do that with the whole, all 12 steps. We just do the questions and talk about them together. Of course, if they just choose not to do that, that is fine too. Like I just encourage them by sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and telling them that, hey, it helps me to really feel like I worked the step, you know, that I didn't just fly by it. Got a couple more things. Let's see. I think I got everything. In step 7, you become, you get more awareness of your shortcomings in order to stop them so that you can, you know, realize, oh, wait, this is not something that I want to do. This is not a behavior I want to have anymore. I want to change this. My first personal sponsor is also my service sponsor. She's very into service. That's not to say that I don't reach out, because she lives in another state. That's not to say that I don't reach out to people here in Arizona, because I do. Because different areas do things differently. There are some, you know, not options, guidelines. Well, there's just some guidelines that are different that they use. Not the principles, but the guidelines will change. So, I love the bookmark as well. I use that a lot. I give that to my sponsees when they ask me to be their sponsor. And I'm not going to go into all that other stuff of having the conversation before we do it and all that. I think my time's up. So I just really appreciate everybody being here. And I'm sorry to whoever has to transcribe this. Thanks.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you, Maureen. I totally understood what you were speaking about. I think they'll have do just fine transcribing it. I appreciate you sharing with us today. So our next speaker is Jed. So Jed, please unmute yourself.
Howdy, my name is Judd, and I'm a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Alateen, and I hail from Santa Fe, New Mexico. For today, I do. the thought that's in my mind is, I've already spoken my 15 minutes in the last 2 days. If you could have only been here, it was marvelous. I just want to share first how I came to be, and I was born into the family disease of alcoholism. My mother was an alcoholic and died of this disease, and I've had husbands and friends and coworkers and you name it. My life has been touched by this disease day in and day out for all my years, and I came into the program, first of all, in Cleveland, Ohio. I was dating a man who went into treatment, and when he got out of treatment, he went to AA, and I went to Al-Anon. They were in the same building, so I had to go because, you know, I was being of a support to him, and I just went for him for a really long time. And until I began to hear the slogans, and I began to hear listen and learn, and I would say, oh, all right, you know, and I'd hear, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth, you know, that kind of thing. And so I really wasn't interested in getting into the steps or sponsorship or any of the other aspects for a long time. And the reason was that it had to do with honesty. I wasn't able to be honest with myself. So why was I going to be honest with you and tell you who I was? But of course, through a series of circumstances, I've been a rule follower for many years, and so it said, get a sponsor. So I asked a woman in the program at the meeting I went to, the home group. And it was an interesting meeting because it was, AA was founded in Akron, Ohio, and came up into Cleveland, and I belonged to the sixth oldest Al-Anon group. So there was, when I joined that program, that group had already existed for 25 years. which is just astounding. So there were a lot of old timers there. And so I began to listen and learn some more, and my sponsor finally said to me, your silence is selfish. Oh my God, I can't be selfish. So I began to open up, and I began to do little service jobs, you know, like back in Ohio, they have kitchen, you know, where you go and you bring the donuts and cookies and you make coffee. And so you get to go early, and I got to listen, and I began to hear what was being said, and I began to look at my own powerlessness, my own unmanageability, and with her help, we continued to step by step do the steps. And back then, when I came in, there was the Daily Reader, the capital T, the Daily Reader, One Day at a Time. And I happened upon, in reading it certainly day after day, I happened upon this one sentence in the millions of sentences in that reader that says, it's far easier to be honest with other people than with myself. And that was the beginning of my looking at the fourth step. And I used the Blueprint for Progress and the fourth step. Blueprint for Progress, the very first section is on honesty. And that has been, I don't know, the touchstone, the grounding stone. It's been the essence of my life, that I need to be first and foremost honest with myself. I need to share with you how I am, what I'm about. I used how a lot, you know, how do you work this program? Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. That's really how I've lived my program. And I struggled with it. I didn't want to tell you about how I treated myself, how I was more there for you than I was for myself. That I knew more about you. I really didn't know who I was, and the fourth step really helped me to look at the aspects. Besides honesty and the Blueprint for Progress, there's all those sections. The one after honesty is self-worth. I mean, what a better placement for it. You know, certainly there's other sections on fear and anger and control and intimacy and finances and frustrations, etc. But having honesty and self-worth be first up was magnificent. And one of the things that someone's already mentioned about writing, I really so appreciated all the questions. If you ask me a question, I'll tell you. I'll tell you about myself. Can I conjure up an answer just by sitting and thinking? Not so much. I love being asked the questions. And so when I got through with the Blueprint for Progress, I set up time with my sponsor, and I love telling stories on myself these days. I told her that we absolutely had to meet two nights, because I had so much to share, you know. It would just not suffice to have 3-4 hours, you know. And we did, and certainly what came out of that fed right into step six of we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. The big glaring defect of character was grandiosity. Oh, yes. I thought so much of my experiences, and so that was really, that's a really fun memory to discover things about myself, and to then begin to set them aside. I know on step six for myself, we're entirely ready. Well, I wasn't entirely ready for a long time. I thought I'm just going to work my character defects into the ground before I have to give them up. And, it became painful after a while to live in denial and to live in grandiosity and live in, my way or the highway or any of those things. And I used to believe that my story was all from my childhood and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I, you know, was told often to get down off the cross because somebody else needs the wood, you know, that kind of thing. Or I would do the Al-Anon salute. Oh, poor me, my childhood, my, you know, oh, I was ridiculous. But I needed to discover how ridiculous I was. So I eventually, and through the help of all the literature and my sponsor, phone calls, going to meetings, using the, 1,000-pound phone, began to open myself up until I became to the point of the seventh step of humbly asking him to remove our shortcomings. And during this whole time of 4, 5, 6, and 7 is when I really established my relationship with a higher power. I had been someone who was using the group as their higher power because I had grown up in an organized religion that usually what I say is there was big chalk boards. There was big chalk and there was my name, Judd, and there was X's because I had all of these character defects. And I needed to establish my own higher power relationship. And through working 4, 5, 6, and 7, I really cemented that for me, and I carry my higher power with me as I travel through my days. And then over time, I began to sponsor. One of the things that I did, and I continue to do, is if someone asked me to be their sponsor, I asked to meet up with them. I want to know what it is, before we agree. I mean, we both need to pray on this relationship. We both need to know what we're looking for. And I want to hear about them. I want to hear what they know for themselves. I want to hear how they got to the program and also what they're expecting. What they're expecting of themselves and also expecting of me. And then we work it out. Certainly writing is important, reading. Early on, certainly I've used Paths to Recovery. More so these days, I use Reaching for Personal Freedom. I again like the piece where you get to ask questions or where they get to ask questions of themselves. The other thing, in each relationship with sponsees is different. I have a sponsee who lives in Ohio. I have one who lives in Minnesota. I have some here in New Mexico. Some have been around a long time. Some are newer. Some I speak to every week. Some people I want to physically see. Some people I just talked to. There's no like cut and dry way in which to sponsor, at least for me. But one thing that they all need to do is they all need to be of service. They need to be serviced within their groups or above their group level. They need to, I tell them it's what I was taught to do. My sponsor, and I didn't get out my lanyard. I have a lanyard that says, get in the car. my sponsor back in Ohio said, get in the car. We're going to a conference. Get in the car. We're going to a workshop. Get in the car. Get in the car. Why? I don't want to go. Well, who cares if you want to go? You're going. You want to take care of yourself. You want to keep coming back. So that's been important. So reading, writing, speaking, being honest, considering, asking oneself. I'm also part of a group here in Santa Fe that we have a beginners meeting, and we have facilitators, and I'm one of the 10 rotating facilitators. and we cover the first three steps. And I just, that just, it matters that you keep coming back. It matters that you keep looking at yourself. I don't know, my brain is going six ways to Sunday, but mostly it's about being of service, being attentive to your recovery, checking in with yourself. And I have in my hand, I just got the new service manual in the second edition, and they threw in the new bookmark, which says, it's a picture of a family, and it says, we found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation. Well, these days are pretty overwhelming situation, you know, but the family disease of alcoholism is also an overwhelming situation, and we need to take it a day at a time, keep it simple, and keep coming back, and one last thing. I'm just looking across my home. I have a piece of calligraphy in a frame in my kitchen, and it says, the best way out is always through. And that's been one of the watchwords in my recovery. I always wanted to delay or distract or go around the bend. But then I remember that my sponsor said to me long time ago, if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always gotten, which is, you know, a slogan. Well, my sponsor would say to me, geez, Judd, come on. When you keep doing the same thing again and you keep hitting the wall, how about this time you turn left? And that's what I live by, because the best way out is always through. And with that, I say thank you.
Thank you, Judd. Thanks for speaking with us today. Thank you to our speakers for sharing. We will now close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you, Carol. That was great. I got a lot of good tips out of that one.